away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks ahead of me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but I came baptizing with water for this reason, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John testified, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I myself have seen and testified that this is the chosen one. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Son of God. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, what are you looking for? They said to him, Rabbi, which translated means teacher. Where are you staying? He said to them, come and see. They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah, which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter. This is the word of the Lord. Every year, the lectionary highlights one of three gospels, either Matthew, Mark, or Luke. Throughout the year, we read and study that gospel, and this year's gospel is Matthew. But periodically, the lectionary throws in a text from the fourth gospel, John. John is very different from the other gospels. Do you remember that bit from Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. On the screen, they showed four objects, for example, four balloons floating in the sky. The balloons were all different shapes, but three of them were red and one was blue. The children had to guess which object was unlike the others. In this case, it was the blue balloon. When it comes to the Gospels, John is the blue balloon. The other three Gospels are so similar that they're called synoptic, which means they share a common viewpoint. John is the outlier, which of course makes John more interesting, at least in my opinion anyway. So when John tells the story of Jesus' baptism, it is very different, a very different story than those told by Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In John's gospel, when John the Baptist appeared, there is no camel hair clothing, no eating locusts and wild honey, no mention of his parents or of his mother's relationship with Jesus' mother, Mary. There is none of that. John first appears in this gospel as a witness to the light. Earlier in John chapter 1, we see John the Baptist questioned by the religious leaders. They want to know who he is and why he is baptizing people. John is clear. He is not the Messiah, not the prophet. He is preparing the way for the Messiah. And that is what John does in this text. It's like he is Jesus' hype man. He goes ahead of him, telling anyone who will listen, here is the Lamb of God. In today's reading, he gave an eyewitness account of Jesus' baptism. But there's no sense that he was the one who performed the baptism. John revealed that he saw the Spirit descending from the heavens like a dove to land on Jesus. For John, that proved Jesus' identity as God's Son, the chosen one, the Lamb of God. And the next day, when Jesus passed by, John did it again, telling two of his disciples, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The disciples then left John to follow Jesus. It's an odd story, but maybe it seems odd because we've known John so well through the lens of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He was a larger-than-life character in those Gospels, and it's hard to let go of that main character energy. In John's version of this story, John the Baptist knew, understood, and accepted his role. He was a witness to the light, the first witness who paved the way and laid the groundwork for the start of Jesus' ministry. Now, I told you that this passage contains two stories, John's testimony about Jesus and then Jesus calling the first disciples. And as might be expected, the call story is unusual also. According to John's gospel, when Jesus noticed the two disciples following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" And they replied, "Teacher, where are you staying?" A pretty basic detail question. Where are you staying? In answer, Jesus simply said, "Come and see. Come and see." Now, this breaks all the rules of good evangelism. That is not at all how I was taught in the Baptist church to lead people to Jesus. Did anybody else grow up in an evangelical church with the expectation that you would actively try to lead people to relationship with Christ? There's a few of you. At least for me, this was a painful part of my early Christian life. From an early age, I understood that it was my responsibility to make sure that my friends and family were saved, because if not, then they were going to spend eternity in hell. As a teenager, I tried to memorize the four spiritual laws and use them to evangelize my friends. Do you know the four spiritual laws? Number one, God loves you. Number two, sin separates us from God. Number three, Jesus is the bridge over sin leading to God. And number four, you must accept Jesus into your heart in order to be saved. Now, I tried a few times, and my friends listened politely and basically said, "Thanks, but no thanks." I was a terrible evangelist. Not for lack of love for Jesus, not for lack of love for my family and my friends, but maybe because the evangelism was based on bad theology, and I'm sure that my lack of enthusiasm and my guilt was very apparent. So how fascinating to watch Jesus in action. He did it so differently. When Jesus noticed the two disciples following him, he asked them, "What are you looking for?" And I'm assuming that Jesus meant, what are you looking for spiritually? What are you looking for in your heart? But when they responded, it was with a very basic question, "Where are you staying?" Jesus responded in kind, "Come and see." What are you looking for? Come and see. Come and see who I am and where I am. Come and see what I say and do. Jesus did not try to prove himself. He did not try to argue or persuade these new disciples. He invited them into relationship. He gave them room to see him and to think for themselves. There is a school of theology called apologetics that tries to use reason and logic to defend Christianity, and I suppose the four spiritual laws came from this school of apologetics. The problem for me is that the closer you get to God, the more mysterious you find God. How can we measure or quantify or logic our way into faith? Because faith is an experience. It is a living and growing relationship with the Holy One. Jesus did not try to explain everything or anything, really. Jesus said, come and see. And isn't that our job as Christians to extend that invitation to our friends and family, to neighbors and to strangers? Come and see as we show our faith. On Wednesday morning, I was scrolling through the headlines for the bad news of the day. CNN had a story about an ICE raid in Minneapolis. They had a cover photo, a street filled with ICE vehicles, officers squaring off with protesters while smoke filled the air. And the background of the photo is what caught my eye. There was a barely visible street sign that read Park Avenue. And behind that was a big, dark red brick Victorian church building that I know very well. It was the Park Avenue United Methodist Church, and that is the church that I attended all through college, the church where I began volunteering as a junior high youth group leader, the church where I worked 6 or 7 summers with junior high students, and the church where I first experienced authentic Christian community and found my call to ministry. There was an ICE raid that day, just a few houses away from the church. The neighborhood came out to protest. The church's pastors got pepper bombed. The church and her people were there. Later in the day, I called a friend who still attends Park Avenue. I wanted to check on her and get her perspective on what's happening around the cities. Now, my friend is a retired school social worker. She is born and raised in Minnesota. She is 100% Scandinavian. She is a measured and thoughtful person, not a hothead at all. I'm not sure she even greeted me. As soon as we were connected, she blurted out, "Oh, Karen, the Gestapo are here." The Gestapo are here. And she went on to tell me about what's happening in the neighborhood and in the area surrounding the church, the arrest and the violence, the overwhelming fear and anger, and her pride in the way that Minnesotans are showing up, including the church. Another thing I should say about my friend is that she's a woman of deep faith, a former evangelical who loves Jesus and loves social justice. Toward the end of this sad and painful conversation, she told me that she's been thinking a lot about the ICE agents, who they are, and what's motivating them to take these jobs. And she said this, "I'm struggling because I know that God loves them too. They are also children of God, just like the immigrants that they are arresting." On Thursday, the day after our conversation, my friend was volunteering at the church because on Thursday, the day after the ICE raid in the neighborhood, Park Avenue United Methodist Church opened its doors to the community and they offered a free healing space for people who needed to speak to a therapist or get some time with a masseuse maybe or meet with the pastor to pray. And of course, there was food and coffee because it is a church after all. This is true evangelism to me. My friend and all the other church members showing up with their grief and their fear, their tears, and their big questions about God and evil, and their absolute commitment to following Jesus. When Jesus said, "Come and see," to those disciples, I think this is what he offered to them. Glimpses of his life, glimpses of his true self, glimpses of the kingdom of God. And this is what Jesus says to each one of us. Come and see. Come and see what it means to follow me. Come and see what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And then he sends us out into the world to offer that same invitation to those we meet along the way. Come and see. Amen.